This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studios. Home is more than a house. It's a personal paradise. Get yours with Rocket Mortgage. Push button. Get mortgage. It is the Zach Gelb Show coast to coast right here on CBS Sports Radio. A lot going on with the QB position in the National Football League. And right now, we will welcome in the Pro Football Hall of Famer, a great quarterback in Kurt Warner. And let me remind you that Kurt Warner is an NFL Network analyst, and you could follow him on Twitter at Kurt13Warner, and NFL Network provides live coverage of the 2020 NFL Scouting Combine tonight through Sunday. Kurt, always great to have you on. Thanks for the time, and how you been?
I'm good, Zach. How you doing, buddy?
Doing fantastic, and always appreciate when you make a few minutes out there for us. I know you're at the Combine, so it's a very busy time of the year. And the talk of the football world, of course, is Tom Brady. What does your gut tell you right now, and what's going to happen with Tom Brady's future?
Well, my gut continues to tell me that he's going to go back to New England, because I just can't see him in a different uniform. I can't see him going somewhere else, and I still feel like it's the best situation for him to be competitive for a championship. I know that, you know, my mind, as I continue to hear these reports, sounds like that's not the most likely scenario, but I'm going to have to see it to believe it. Because, again, I just don't know what situation out there is better than what he's going to be guaranteed in New England. So it's going to be fascinating, I think, for all of us to see. We can't wait to see that domino fall. But I'm going to count him as a Patriot until I see him sign on the dotted line somewhere else.
Yeah, I'm with you as well. But if he were to leave, and you hear all these teams that are speculated, you know, the Chargers, Tennessee, the Raiders, is there a team right now that maybe you say if he were to leave, that would be the team that he should go to?
Well, I mean, you know, I look at it, and there's always a couple different ways to look at it. I mean, obviously, Tom's the ultimate competitor. But with that being said, you know, you still want to win championships. And so you weigh all the pieces that go into that. And so I look at the Chargers and the Raiders, and I say to myself, well, if you go to one of those places, you're competing against the Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes twice a year just to win your division. And that, to me, is not the most conducive scenario to compete for a championship every year. You know, when I look at the AFC, that's the one guy at the quarterback spot that I look at and go, that's the guy I have to deal with. Nobody else has proven themselves to be a championship quarterback on that side. So I'm used to being in a division where we win it every year and I get a one or two seed and I'm guaranteed a playoff spot. Why do I want to go to a division where I got to play against that guy twice a year? Even if we're battling and even if we can beat him, you know, that's a tough thing to do, and then probably play him a third time in the Super Bowl. So I just look at that scenario, and then, you know, I heard the Giants and I've heard the Bucks mentioned too. I look at the NFC side and I say again, yeah, I want to win championships. If I go to the NFC side, there are a whole bunch of guys I got to go through. You know, there are so many good quarterbacks on that side of things that, you know, that's the other part that, man, not only do I have to beat a good one, I got to beat a bunch of good ones there. So I believe the AFC is still the right place to be for him if he wants to compete for championships. So I say to myself, with the teams that we've heard out there, the Titans seem to be the right fit. You know, he's got the relationship with the coach, obviously. They got a team that was in the championship game last year. They got some pieces that can fit to what Tom Brady is right now. I just feel like of all those teams that we've heard about, the best situation besides New England to compete for a championship is Tennessee in my mind.
Pro Football Hall of Famer Kurt Warner here with us on the Zach Gelb Show. Out of all these teams being reported and speculated on, the team I laughed at the most was the Giants. We know the Super Bowl history there, but they just drafted Daniel Jones at number 6, which everyone killed Gettleman for, and he's telling everyone he's got his guy at quarterback. But you know it, when Joe Judge gets up at the podium the other day and doesn't name Daniel Jones his starter, people's minds, they start to wonder. But I really believe that Jones is still going to be their quarterback next year, right?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think, you know, there's a lot of parts to that. I mean, the first thing is just that I don't think New York's ready to compete for a championship. So is Tom Brady going anywhere that he doesn't think can at least to some degree compete? That's where it starts. But, I mean, the other thing with Daniel, there's no question Daniel's their long-term answer. But if you believe that you've got a chance to get Tom Brady for a couple years, you know, that doesn't necessarily throw a kink in the plans that Daniel Jones is going to be your guy for the next 10. So I could see it from that scenario. I just don't see, you know, the Giants. If I'm the Giants, I'm going, okay, what am I bringing Tom Brady in for? Do I really think that just adding him is going to make us a championship team? Well, no. I mean, I don't believe that. I mean, I don't see that happening. And so that would be my bigger question with the Giants is like, okay, if you went and made this move, why are you making this move? Are you trying to teach the guys around you? Are you trying to teach a Daniel Jones how to become a championship guy? Maybe. But it just doesn't seem to fit on either side to say, hey, we're just this quarterback away, or, you know, the Giants are just a quarterback away from winning a championship. So that's a perfect marriage for Tom Brady and the Giants. I just don't see it, even though I've heard the rumors.
Wouldn't you maybe potentially kill the confidence, though, of Daniel Jones if you played him last year, then you bring in Brady and then you have him sit for maybe a year or two?
I don't necessarily think so. I mean, because I think there's an easy way to sell that. To Daniel Jones. You know, it's not like Daniel Jones, they're bringing in just anybody to be the guy and put you on the bench. You know, they're bringing in the best ever. And it's easy to sell, hey, we're going to bring this guy in. And the reason we're bringing him in is not because we don't believe in you, but because we want you to learn from him. We want to give you a couple years in which you can learn from the greatest to ever do it. So for the 10 years after that, we can be in a position and you're in the best position to succeed and hopefully compete for championships. So I think that's an easy sell from that standpoint, although, you know, no player wants to be put on the bench and, you know, be put back in that scenario. But when you're talking about Tom Brady coming in as opposed to anybody else, I think it's a much easier sell.
Pro Football Hall of Famer Kurt Warner here with us on the Zach Gelb Show. What do you make of the future of Jameis Winston? Do you think he's back with the Bucs or somewhere else?
I do believe he's back with the Bucs. And again, you know, we've heard all the talk, and you know, Bruce Arians is one of those guys that you got to love because he kind of tells you like it is. I mean, it sounds like, you know, the Bucs are in the business of going, hey, if we believe there is someone better out there that we can win with right now, and that has the upside of a Jameis Winston without maybe the downside, we'll explore it and we'll go there. I just don't know what that piece is. I don't know who that piece is that really makes complete sense to me from that standpoint. And so knowing Coach Arians, knowing what he got out of Jameis last year, even though there was a lot of interceptions, I believe Bruce is saying to himself, look what this quarterback did in first year of our system. And if we can just eliminate some of those things and continue to kind of work our magic, we believe this guy can be one of the top-tier quarterbacks in this league and that we can win with him. And so I believe that's the mindset of Bruce Arians. So ultimately, I believe Jameis will be back probably on a franchise tag to see one more year if they can get him to turn that corner. But I'm just not sure that other guy's out there. But again, you know, that's saying right now, based on what we see, if Tom Brady makes one of these things fall and goes to the Raiders and now there's a Derek Carr, you know, maybe there's, you know, maybe somebody else becomes more available than we think they are right now that becomes intriguing to the Bucs and they go a different route.
Do you still think that Phillip Rivers has some good football left in him?
Yeah, I do. I mean, I definitely do. I mean, I love Phillip and I think he's going to compete and he's going to make some plays for you. You know, but again, I think the thing with Phillip is, you get to this point in your career and he's such a competitor that he wants to win. And I think at times that got him in trouble these past couple years and specifically last year, just almost, you know, pushing and pressing the issue a little bit too much almost feeling like I need to win and we're so close to winning. And he got away from a little bit of what makes Phillips so good. But, yeah, I don't think there's any question that that Phillips still plenty good to be able to go to a good team and win a lot of football games and make it to the playoffs.
Talking to the Pro Football Hall of Famer and Kurt Warner, there's been some speculation what the Redskins are going to do at number two. You know, with the Cardinals a year ago, they drafted Kyler Murray number one and then traded Josh Rosen. Could you see the Redskins, if Burrow goes number one, taking Tua Tagovailoa number two? And give me a little a thought and an opinion on Dwayne Haskins as a quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, normally you would say to yourself, no way a team is ever going to do that. But when you have an example just a year ago of a situation that played out just like that, and a quarterback that came in that you thought was a difference maker, that won Rookie of the Year, and that you see the excitement and that you believe you can build around for 10 years, I think if you're Washington, you got to go, okay, let's at least think about this. Let's at least explore this, because we've seen an example of how it works and that it can work. And bottom line is, you got to have that position, and you got to believe in the guy that's behind the center. And Arizona didn't. They do now. And so I think you have to ask yourself the same question if you were Washington, is what do we believe Dwayne Haskins is? And what do we believe he can be? And compare that to what we think Tua is. If you think Tua is that, you know, game-changing difference-type maker at the quarterback spot, you have to explore that. And I don't think we've seen enough from Dwayne Haskins to say, oh, we don't need to worry about that, and we've got our guy. And so that's what makes it more intriguing. But, you know, you also have the Tua, and you have the hip, and you have all of that. And so I believe you have to believe that guy is a transcendent difference-making guy if you're going to make a move like that. But, you know, I know a lot of people that believe Tua is that guy. So going to be fascinating. But, yeah, I think, you know, recent history gives us an example of how that can work. And I think that makes Washington at least explore that option.
Is there any skepticism with Joe Burrow as a future NFL quarterback when you look and review him, Kurt?
No, I don't think there's skepticism. I think there's a lot of things that he does really well that will translate to the next level. I hear a lot of people talk about the arm strength aspect of things. Haven't seen him throw up close and personal to know. On tape, it didn't seem to be a limitation from the standpoint of what I worry about. There's some guys I look at on tape, and I just say to myself, they don't have the arm talent, you know, I should say bottom end, you know, the floor that I think you need to be a guy that can carry a team with your right arm. And then everybody above that, to me, is enough arm strength. I don't worry about it at that point. And when I watch, you know, Joe on tape, I believe he's got plenty of arm to be able to be successful at this level. And so without that being something that I worry about, what I saw last year gives me no worries that he can't turn and translate to the next level. Doesn't mean he's going to, but his processing, his accuracy, his technique as a quarterback, I think are all things that you can build on that could translate to the next level. And so I, you know, from what I've seen up to this point, I don't have any concerns that you could pick him very high, and he's got a chance to be a good quarterback at this level.
When you do your draft homework for the NFL Network, who are some other quarterbacks when we get away from Burrow and Tua that you like?
Yeah, I think the other guys are intriguing. You know, I think Jordan Love with his athleticism, and you actually go back to 2018, he was much better than 2019, and so that's what intrigues me, although it worries me a little bit that he's really good 1 year and not so good the next year, so it brings some questions, but I think he's got you know, some upside with his athleticism. Another guy is Jacob Eason, another guy I liked on tape, and I think he's got good physical traits that he brings to the table, inconsistent at the quarterback spot. So you're always worried about inconsistencies, but at least a guy that intrigues you a little bit. And then you got a couple other guys like Fromm and Herbert that can't say I was necessarily huge fans of on film, although they both do some things well. So I'm intrigued to kind of see them in person, to see the arm strength, to see the quick twitch and how fast they do things, because I think that's key at the next level. But those are four guys that kind of intrigue me and kind of fall right behind the top two. And I think how they end up shaking out will be, you know, starting today here at the Combine, and then what people feel about some of those limitations and some of those upsides.
I know you got to run, so last one before we let the Pro Football Hall of Famer Kurt Warner run. Expectations for Ben and Cam coming off injuries in your mind. How do you view Ben and Cam at this stage of their career?
Well, Cam, I'm fascinated by it because I think the more injuries we've seen with him, the more you wonder how he's ever going to be able to play the game the way he's played it up to this point. And what's made Cam different is being able to play that way and being able to kind of throw caution to the wind and throwing his body out there and doing some of those different things. And so it very much intrigues me on who he's going to be, what he's going to be as a quarterback moving forward. Because I'm not sure I've seen enough to say, oh, if he doesn't run and doesn't use the athleticism, can he be a winning quarterback, a top quarterback as a drop-back passer, that he's never really had to do that. And so that's intriguing to me. Big Ben, I just believe Ben will be fine if he's healthy. You know, if his arm comes back the way that it's always been, I think Ben's a really good quarterback. I think he's been one of our top quarterbacks in the league. I don't think there's going to be any issue there as long as physically he can do the things that he's accustomed to doing. And, you know, if he doesn't come back the same physically and his arm's not the same, then obviously we got to figure out what that means. But I'm really not worried right now that he's not going to be a difference-making quarterback as long as that arm is healthy.
Once again, you can watch NFL Network's coverage of the 2020 NFL Scouting Combine tonight through Sunday. And make sure you follow Kurt on Twitter at Kurt13Warner. Kurt's actually the reason why I started a Twitter account in high school, because I wanted to get him on the show, and he was nice enough to come on back when I was a high school student. So thanks so much, my friend. Always great to catch up with you.
All right, you too, my man. Take care.
There he is, Kurt Warner, joining us on the show. And that's a true story, by the way. The first time I got involved with Twitter, I must have been a junior or a senior in high school, and I said, I want to get Kurt Warner on the show I was doing out of my parents' basement. And he was the first person I ever followed on Twitter. He ended up DMing me, and he eventually did come on the show after he saw the tweets I would send him. I'm pretty sure it's the first tweet I ever sent was actually to Kurt Warner because of that. Mikey B, why did you join Twitter? You have any special reason?
Nah, it really was just for work purposes. It was time to do it. I was in radio and was like, yeah, I should probably have a Twitter account to keep track of things, voice my opinion, and the whole deal.
Do you have a burner account?
I do, yeah.
Oh, you have a burner?
No, I don't have a burner account. I don't have a burner account.
I don't believe in burner accounts.
I don't have a burner account, but I do have an account that I use on the side for other purposes, but it's not burner. But nobody knows I have it.
Is your side account following me?
That's busted. A good question. No, it is not.
Your side account should be followed.
Yeah, I'll do it right now.
How do you have a side account that is used
hold on. To protect yourself here. Sorry, D-Man.
I know,
to
I should just shut my mouth before I get in trouble.
No, you should maybe, Brian Colangelo, Barbara Bottini, Baseglia.
you
should
all the
maybe wait a few days and then follow me, because then right away someone could go to my follower account and then see what your account is, and then you get exposed.
That's true.
You could wait a week, 2 weeks, but eventually follow me from your fake account and let me know what it is so I could follow that account, because I get a lot of joy in seeing what people's burners are, even though I would never have a burner, but seeing what people's burners are and how they're different on that burner account. D-Ben, why did you join Twitter?
I wish I could remember. I was in college. It was a new thing. I don't. It was a long time ago now. It was 11 years ago now, I think.
Yeah, I guess people aren't that ambitious to join Twitter like I was. Would you delete your Twitter account if you got out of sports radio?
I would like to say yes, but the answer is no.
Mikey B?
Definitely not.
I think I would delete my Twitter account if I got out of sports radio.
After all that
radio.
Work.
Yeah, I think I would.
Would you keep like Instagram and Facebook and all that other stuff?
Instagram 100%. Facebook, yes.
Get it out of here.
I think I would just make, or maybe not delete the account, because you never want to go back. That's the only way I would make a burner account. If I got out of sports talk radio, make a burner account, because I use it to follow news and things like that and keep up and see what stupid petulant fights people are getting in. But if I got out of sports talk radio, I would not check that Twitter account every day.
Be a happier life. I just don't understand how Mike gets away with saying he has another account that he uses for other purposes, but it's not a burner. And then we all just move on. What is a burner then?
Yeah, that's another
thing.
That's
what a burner is.
See, that's
why the follow-up questions? We were all good with where we were.
Checks and balances. Thank you, D-Ben. That's where the Columbia degree comes in. You do have a burner account.
I don't have a burner account.
What's
I
your profile picture on that account?
It is a logo of something.
This is not going
it
well.
Is a,
that's a burner.
This is it's not a logo. Going
well. A burner account is when you don't list your name. It's someone operating the account trying to hide their identity, and they either have a random logo, a picture of a dog or a cat. Or just an egg face. You have a burner account.
I don't look at it that way, but
okay, Pinocchio.
I think it's a great account, but it's just not burning.
I'll have to peruse that account afterwards. You may be with one less account on that phone once I get
it. Yeah, I got to just stop talking.
It's 22 past the hour. We got to stop talking because we have to take a break. When we come back, if the Patriots don't get Tom Brady back, who's going to be their quarterback? And also, what does that mean for the rest of the team with all their impending free agents? We'll tell you about that next on the Zach Gelb Show on CBS.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
Sports Radio.
The Zach Gelb Show is on the air across the nation on CBS Sports Radio.
Zach Gelb, man, good for that guy. Because I remember going on his show in his parents' house that he streamed when he was like 11 years old.
Yeah, yeah.
He's like, I'm the expert on Showmeo. And he was like 11. And I'm like, wow, this is pretty cool. Yeah, and now here he is with a full-time national radio show.
He's going to be a star someday.
That
if he
is,
already,
he's well on his way.
Here's Zach Gelb.
Upon further review, sometimes myself and Tom DiBenedetto are wrong when we're in the triangle of Mikey B, Zach Gelb, and D-Ben. Now, Mikey B didn't do a great job explaining this burner account that he's operating, but I would not classify it as a burner. So there was an old show here that Mike used to run their Twitter account, not Taz of the Moose. It was Gio and Jones. And Gio and Jones, Gio went to WFAN, and Brian Jones left the network, CBS Sports Radio. So there was this account that was inactive. Mike was running this podcast business, which I think you still run. And
yeah.
Brian and Gio allowed Mike to then run this podcast. So it's not as if you took over their account, you put a logo up there, and just started trolling people and defending when people criticize me or people criticize D-Ben or people criticize Kyrie Irving or Kevin Durant or whatever. That's the last thing. Kevin Durant needs a burner, you know, a burner account defending himself from somebody else because he does that by himself. So you just do this for your podcasting service. That do you even still have the podcasting service?
I'll help out some people here and there. It's not as active as I'd like it to be. I'll put it that way. But like I said, it's not a burner account.
No, it's not a burner account because you have the logo of the Pros Club, which I guess was the service. And now all the videos, which surprise, surprise, are videos of Mikey B for his Mike Delivers podcast and all these people getting food, and you see some of these interviews with Richard Jefferson and John Boy and also Frank the Tank Fleming. How was that visit to Frank the Tank's house of Barstool when you went to Frank Fleming's house and interviewed him? I listened to the entire interview. You had to ask so many questions, by the way.
I did ask a lot of questions.
He got Belichick with you a few times, and then he got anti-Belichick. He had some short answers.
Yeah, that's...
And you had to go rapid fire with the questions, but then eventually he gave you more and more substance. He was so distracted, though, listening to that, watching that Mets game.
That was the problem.
The first minute of the podcast, they just start, and Steven Matz allows a home run in spring training, a pitcher for the Mets, and Frank the Tank, who I love, starts cursing and freaking out over a spring training game.
Yeah,
Who cares?
I don't, but he did. Yeah, a lot of questions.
He was distracted.
He was distracted, turning that TV off and not allowing him to have his Sunday fun day was not going to happen.
And then my favorite part is when the food comes, because you guys order Popeyes.
Yeah.
They open up a window. They don't even go to the door. They open up a window, and Frank sticks his head out the window as if it's a drive-thru at McDonald's.
Yeah.
He takes the food, and then off they go. I don't know. Did you tip that driver?
Yes. Yes, I always tip. Yes.
Gotcha. So you tip the driver. Did you do an interview with the driver?
Did not. He was freaked out, and he could not have gotten out of there faster.
Can you imagine? You're going to deliver to someone's house. You think you're going to just ring the doorbell. You have Frank the Tank, who people probably know that are delivering food because, you know, he's pretty famous, you know, works for Barstool and all that, had the whole viral NJ Transit is the worst rant. And you just see some guy poking his head out the window. Hey, bring the food over here. Bring the food over here.
Yeah, and I even left instructions. Hey, by the way, when you walk down the driveway on the left-hand side, there will be a window. He didn't understand it. It's probably not protocol. Maybe I would even be confused as a driver. But we had to coach him through it on the phone, which is a pain in the tush.
And then someone once, I was listening to the podcast that you do, Mike Delivers, someone once would not deliver to the window and then ran off?
Yeah, ran off with the food. He was explaining the time that somebody could not understand that you had to not even go to the window, but go down the driveway towards his apartment complex. Did not do that. So said, you know what? I can't find your house. I'm leaving. I'm taking this burger. He never got the food.
Now, just wondering, when you acquired this Twitter account, which is not a burner, but when you acquired this Twitter account, did anyone say what happened to the old Twitter account? Because, you know, this happened to me recently. Someone followed, you know, I left my account on, and someone followed themselves from my account. And I'm sitting there and I'm saying, when did I start following this person? This happened a few times where my account will, I think, randomly follow people, but I was tipped off that this person started following from my account because I left it logged in, which is not a big deal, whatever. But sometimes I'll start following people that I don't even know that I followed, and then I change my password and all that. Did anyone ever tweet back at you from this old account that used to be Gio and Jones's account and say, why am I seeing all these different podcasts? And you used to do podcasts with like Phil Savage and Dan Orlovsky, who we love. And now it's all pretty much food and your podcast. Did anyone say whatever happened to the old Twitter account?
Yeah, I did.
Did someone catch on?
I did have somebody catch on that was a big fan of Gio and Jones and say like, oh, I was used to hearing like impressions from Greg and Brian Jones's college football thoughts. And now I'm seeing pictures of your cat. And pictures of waffles. Like, what has happened here to this account? How did it become this? And I did not respond.
How did they know, though?
I don't know. That guy's good. He just figured it out. Probably because I produced it and he saw me. Probably because I produced it and then remembered and was able to connect the dots that I manipulated it.
So myself and D-Ben, we will, after further review, we went under the hood or we got to the tablet. And that's not a burner account.
Yeah, sorry, Mike. You wouldn't be much of a defense attorney, but
yeah, you didn't do a good job arguing, but that's fine.
It's not a strength.
Dodger Blue Jackson chimes in on Twitter. He says, Zach Gelb, is it considered a burner account if you haven't been audited in over 2 years? No. It's not. That's an inactive burner account. I would not call that a burner account. Let me get to Tom Brady. So if Tom Brady leaves the Patriots, here are some quarterbacks that I would consider or some options that you would consider if you're New England. Andy Dalton, if you could trade, I think that would be one of the better options. Jared Stidham, I don't think is ready. He's on the roster. Marcus Mariota could be intriguing. Don't love it. Don't have confidence in him. Maybe Belichick thinks he could fix him along with Josh McDaniels. Teddy Bridgewater. I don't know, after moving on from Brady, if they do, that they would go commit 3-4 years to Bridgewater. I don't think they would. I would be more than fine with Teddy Bridgewater. But just further thinking it over, I would think they're probably looking for more of a short-term quarterback. And maybe they try to find an option in the draft, but the draft's going to be picky if you really want these top options because you're not getting Burrow, and it's very unlikely they're going to be able to trade up for Tua Tagovailoa. I don't love Herbert. He's too inconsistent for me. I haven't seen enough of Love and Eason as well, so... we'll get more further analysis. We heard what Kurt Warner had to say. We'll get more from D-Ben as the draft process do continue. So the quarterback's going to be the question. And I think they'll look at Dalton, Mariota, and potentially Bridgewater if they think that he could be their guy for 3-4 years. What I'm really curious with the Brady thing, how many of these guys wait to see what Brady does? You know, is Devin McCourty waiting to see if Brady comes back? Kyle Van Noy, I don't think he's returning. He wants money. He made that clear at the Super Bowl. You know, on Radio Row that he wants money, and I don't think Belichick's going to pay up for a front seven player if you just look at his history. Matthew Slater, I think he comes back. Joe Tooney, I think, is gone regardless. Jamie Collins, Philip Dorsett, I would like to see Collins back. Dorsett, you have to wonder if he's only going to come back, though. If Brady's back, who knows? So that Brady factor, how long does it take for Brady to make his decision? It also affects the salary cap. They could get a deal done before the new league year, the way that you could spread out that money and all that, from what I was reading. And then also, how many of these guys are going to wait And if Brady's not back, do they go elsewhere? Because a lot of these guys are older, like McCourty, you know, maybe even Slater, too, if he decides to leave. And they rather just move on knowing that Tom Brady's not there just because of the importance he has to the organization.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
It's the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. When we come back, who's more likely to be traded in this offseason? Stephon Diggs or Le'Veon Bell? I have an answer for you.
He's live. He's nationwide on CBS Sports Radio. This is the Zach Gelb Show. Here's your host, Zach Gelb.
Do you guys, by the way, know what TV show returns tonight? It actually may be on right now. I'm not able to watch it, though, because I'm hosting a sports talk radio program as it's the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. But do either of you know what television show is back tonight?
I have no idea.
I don't either. I know Better Call Saul came back this week.
Oh, that was Monday, yeah.
Oh, did it really? I've seen that show once. By the way, here's another two hot takes. That's not really a hot take. It's just it's a fact. I've never seen Breaking Bad. Someone actually tweeted me about that. I guess Amy was talking about television shows, and someone tweeted me saying, what's like wrong with you CBS Sports Radio hosts? Because I guess Amy didn't see it. I'm just assuming by the tweets. They said, I remember when Zach said he's never watched Breaking Bad. I've never seen Breaking Bad. And I've seen Game of Thrones once.
I watched one episode?
Yeah, I watched one episode and I wasn't having it.
So I think you'd like Breaking Bad. You got two Breaking Bad super duper fans in the control room in here. So
my favorite TV shows, 24 I loved with Jack Bauer.
Me too.
Entourage I love. I'm a big Curb fan, but you guys are going to laugh at me for the show that comes back tonight. Jersey Shore Family Vacation is back.
Oh, you mentioned that in the control room. Dumb job by me.
Yeah, I did that earlier in the week. Jersey Shore Family Vacation, I just still get joy out of it because I find it entertaining that these guys and girls are now like in their 30s or whatever, and they're the same people, like a little bit different, but pretty similar whenever they get alcohol in them. There's something that's just fun to me, and I'm very disappointed. I get off the air today at 10 p.m. Eastern, and I was thinking, oh, yeah, I'm going to go sit down at like 10:20 and watch the hour show. The way MTV works, it's not going to be on demand until the next day. And I don't think it just flips over at midnight. So I'm going to have to wake up then early tomorrow before I go to the gym and then watch Family Vacation.
Where is the vacation this time?
That's a great question. I don't know.
They went to Miami?
They did that not that long ago. The big part is the situation's out of jail now. Mike Sorrentino. So they have to show that on the show. He's been out of jail for a while. And now he's in ridiculous shape. He's back to being the situation. But I'm very pumped up for that. What's a television show that's gone away that you would like to see come back? For me, you give me 24 back with Jack Bauer. That would be an all-time great. Entourage, too. I also love The Sopranos, but obviously, that's not going to come back. You'd be missing a major character in James Gandolfini since he did pass away. But I loved The Sopranos, too, when they were on.
That's a really tough question because I like closure and shows that end well, but not many have ended well. But like a show like Breaking Bad, it's perfect where it is, and now we have the next version of it. I'm trying to think of what actually would need to come back.
That's why, to me, a show like Curb is perfect. Because, yeah, there's a flow from show to show, but you could pick it up whenever and pretty much
understand
it. And the product never gets stale. You know, through all these seasons of Curb, I don't say, it gets stale. There's sometimes you see a show, it just goes on way too long, and you go, okay, you know, just hopefully it gets axed soon. Didn't you guys say you wanted to see Friends come back, right?
No, I had mentioned that. I mean, it would be fun to see a couple of episodes. I think it would be bizarre now them later in life. That would just be strange.
Yeah,
the Sopranos prequel is coming out, the movie, a prequel to The Sopranos.
Oh, really?
How Tony became Tony, in his young childhood.
Oh, I must have missed that.
Yeah, so that'll be coming out.
I'm really bad. See, two things I'm bad with. Music, remembering song lyrics and artists. And I just go, oh, yeah, I like that song. And I'll get 6 or 7 lyrics wrong, but you'll know what I'm talking about because I'll be somewhat in tune. And then movies. The last movie I saw in theaters, and it was a while, it was actually the Sandler movie, Uncut Gems. But I haven't been to a movie before that in a while. I can't even remember the last movie I went to. When there's a big, big movie, I usually don't see it for a year or two after it was released for some bizarre reason. I don't know why that is.
Now I'm with you also. I watched The Joker the other night. I was like, I'm finally going to see this. I sat down and watched The Joker. It was terrifying.
Wasn't good?
No, it was good. I mean, it was good. It was just you left thinking, man, that's not good. How someone's life could go from bad to deranged. And I mean, it was good. It was an enjoyable film. It was a little creepy watching by myself. But yeah, I mean, it was terrifying.
And you know what movie someone said that I had to see? I've not seen it yet. Someone said I have to see Parasite. Have you seen Parasite, either of you?
Have not, but it won, you know, movie of the year.
D-Ben?
I have not.
See?
It's a foreign language film, too. I'm not that's disqualifying. I'm very curious, but it's a...
Oh, yeah. My friend said you have to read all the subtitles.
Yep.
Wait, so that won movie of the year?
Yep. I believe so, yeah.
And see? That's what I'm talking about. This is our show. Everyone's talking about Parasite. It wins movie of the year. We got the three blind mice right here. Zach Gelb and Tom DiBenedetto and Mikey B. None of us have seen Parasite.
Well, maybe the three of us should get together. We could do a little showing. We could watch the movie.
So,
and all sit there and read.
You should get the screener sent to you, right? Don't you
get
the screener?
Oh, yeah, with SAG-AFTRA?
Yeah. See, that's we're out of the loop on that.
Yeah, no, that's true. My union does send that stuff. I usually just forward it to my parents' house because my parents, I see my, you know, I have my own apartment in the city and all that. But for my SAG-AFTRA, I just use my parents' address because they want all the movies. Like, I'm not this huge movie guy. So all the time they send me those movies, I just forward it to my mom. So she's all happy about that and she doesn't bug me for a few weeks.
I saw The Rise of Skywalker 4 times, so it kind of limited my ability to see some of the other ones. I used all my movie visits on one movie this year.
Oh, okay. You're talking about actually going to the theater.
Yeah. No, I saw it. I paid 4 times to see The Rise of Skywalker.
Really? That's weird.
I mean,
4 times?
I mean, it's Star
Wars, Zach.
It's not
changing.
I understand.
Yeah, but it's your chance to see it while it's out. And then it's only out one time, and then it's gone forever.
I was never a big Star Wars fan.
I'm not a big Star Wars fan either, but I completely understand the 4 times thing. If it gives you joy and it gives you happiness, I mean, keep going.
Hold on.
Why not?
I'm a huge Bruce Springsteen fan. I've seen Bruce like 2 times in a week. If I'm going to see him 3-4 times in a week, that's a little excessive. How long did you spread out those 4
visits? It was over the entire run. I actually went on the last weekend too. But I've seen, and just similar vein with Bruce, I've seen Dave Matthews Band 89 times, and I've seen them 6 times in 9 days.
Wow.
So I can do it.
That's crazy.
I can do the repeat viewing.
That's like when Fish comes to Madison Square Garden for that Baker's Dozen. It was, I think, 13 shows
or
whatever.
You can ask Berman about it.
Berman, he's a fish head?
Oh, yeah.
So my friends, they go to like 11 out of 13 shows, 12 out of 13 shows. Like, that's way too much. Let's get back to the sports, though. It's the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. When we get to Stephon Diggs and Le'Veon Bell, there's a lot of noise and there's a lot of speculation that maybe they're not going to be on their same teams that they're currently on. Let's hear Rick Spielman refute the rumors that Stephon Diggs will be traded.
There is no reason or the rumors or whatever you're talking about to anticipate that Stephon Diggs is not going to be a Minnesota Viking. And when you have some of the offensive talent that we have with him and Thielen together and with Rudy and Irv Smith and with Dalvin Cook and Madison, we have a pretty good support staff around that, or a support cast around our quarterback.
So it's one thing for Rick Spielman to say it. It's another thing for him to actually keep Stephon Diggs. Remember, Dave Gettleman once said, we didn't sign Odell to trade him, and then he got traded from the Giants to the Cleveland Browns. Stephon Diggs isn't happy. Ben Lieber was on with us yesterday. He's plugged into that team better than anybody. Former player, also is on their radio broadcast team. And yes, Stephon Diggs has a contract. You know, he's still under contract until 2023. The dead cap hit, though, it's not terrible. The dead cap hit is not terrible in this contract. $14.5 million for this year cap hit, 9 dead, 15 and 21, 6 dead, 15 and 2022, and 3 in dead cap, and then you have that 2023 contract as well. So that's not an awful contract. You can move on from it, especially if you're Minnesota, when it's only going to be dead cap money of 9, 6, and 3. And Stephon Diggs is erasing all the photos of the Vikings and his profiles on social media. So when I look at Stephon Diggs, I think there's a chance this offseason. They're going to try to do everything they can to keep him and salvage that relationship, but there's going to be a chance that they are going to move on. Let's hear from Joe Douglas saying they're thrilled to have Le'Veon Bell here.
I can't tell you how great he's been. I had a great conversation with him at the end of the season exit meeting. And, you know, I know he's been working hard down in Miami, down at Bomberitos. And, you know, I know he's excited to get back. And we're excited to have him.
Down where? Bomberitos?
Been working hard down in Miami, down at Bomberitos, and you know I know he's excited to get back, and we're excited to have him.
I'm not great with geography. Bomberitos, though, that sounds as if a place that I would try to go on a vacation and just get bombed and have a few like strawberry daiquiris or pina coladas or a few Coronas. So when I look at who's more likely to get traded, Diggs or Bell, I think it's Stephon Diggs. Because for Le'Veon Bell, here's what happens. Adam Gase is getting killed as the head coach of the Jets. Some of it his fault, and some of it not his fault. And the rep with Adam Gase is that he runs players out of town, like Jay Ajayi and also Jarvis Landry, just some examples with the Miami Dolphins. Gase and Douglas are tight back from their days in Chicago, or so they say. If you get rid of Le'Veon Bell and a fan base that in the Jets fan that can't already stand Adam Gase, they're going to say, here we go again, another relationship that Adam Gase couldn't hold here, because there's that perception that Gase and Bell, which could be a fair perception, don't see eye to eye with some of the reporting in the aftermath of Maccagnan being fired, how Gase did not want to get Le'Veon Bell at that price. So between Diggs or Bell, I think Bell will be on the Jets this upcoming season. Stephon Diggs, there's a good chance he could be going elsewhere. Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.